content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's stories include Downtown Raleigh businesses struggle to keep the doors open, and NCDOT to buy CSX rail line between Raleigh and Ridgeway. And we'll begin with Downtown Raleigh businesses struggle to keep the doors open. Throughout the coronavirus pandemic, Taz Zarka has managed to keep the doors of his convenience store on the corner of Wilmington and Harget Street open. He's hopeful they'll stay open, but he's not sure. I have no idea. It all depends on it's a disease. It has to be controlled by the health department and by politicians. It's not in our hands, Zarka said, while giving a customer back his change on Friday afternoon. Zarka's store is one of the only few open on the block. Lack of foot traffic means that business is down 60% from what it was before the pandemic. Zarka blames the closure of office buildings in the area and a law limiting alcohol sales after 11 p.m. We're not corporate, that if one shop out of 3,000 locations goes bad, no problem, we'll fix it up, he said. We only have one. Downtown, we're doomed. If it's going to continue as this, everybody's going to go. You're going to see a lot of doors are closed. More than 6 months since the first case of COVID-19 was reported in North Carolina, and more than 3 months since the first protest against police brutality shook Raleigh, downtown businesses are struggling to keep the doors open. According to a survey of over 200 small business owners conducted by Shop Local Raleigh, a nonprofit that promotes local independent businesses, less than a third of small business owners believe their business will survive the pandemic. More than half replied that they're not sure, while over 10% responded that their business won't make it. Over half responded that they were negatively impacted by damage following the protest, too. According to a report released by Raleigh Police Department this past week about the protest and the department's response, 71 incidents of property damage were reported between May 30th and June 1st. Much of that damage occurred on the night of May 30, when thousands of demonstrators gathered in downtown Raleigh as part of a nationwide protest prompted by the death of George Floyd. After police responded to protests with tear gas and pepper spray, the protest fragmented, and some groups began smashing storefronts along Fayetteville and other nearby streets. The report did not include an estimate of the cost of the damage, which it said is forthcoming. The current cost analysis would not adequately factor the revenue lost by the businesses due to vandalism, closure, and repairs, according to the report. At Carol's Kitchen on Martin Street, the windows are still boarded up from that night. Fires were also set inside the store, a nonprofit that employs women recovering from homelessness, incarceration, domestic violence, and addiction. The owner, Vicki Ismail, estimates that the damage cost $20,000 total, most of which was covered by insurance. She doesn't think having the boards up has directly decreased sales in the last few months, but says the overall effect on the downtown has been stark. If you think about downtown a year ago, there used to be so much life. There's people everywhere and energy and sitting outdoors eating and laughing and walking and drinking coffee, and now there's kind of none of that. People pull up to the curbside. That's the saddest part. And the boards just remind me of the sadness of that. But we'll come back, she said. Ismail hopes replacement windows will arrive in the next couple of weeks. She's planning to keep the boards in the back of the store, though, so she can put them up in advance of future protest. Since May, business owners have expressed their disappointment with the city's response to both the protest damage and the pandemic. Three-quarters of respondents to the Shop Local Raleigh survey responded no when asked if the Raleigh City Council and Wake County Board of Commissioners have the best interest of the small business community in mind. The same number said they do not support the actions of Raleigh Mayor Mary Ann Baldwin or the City Council in response to both the pandemic and the civil unrest. Some suggested that the city needs to invest in more security and police presence downtown. When police were not dispatched during the night of rioting to certain locations, it made me feel that our chief of police and mayor were turning their backs on us, letting the rioters have a free pass with no consequences, one person wrote in response to the survey. RPD's report this week acknowledged some areas for improvement. Field communication is key in critical times such as this. We certainly saw some examples of the consequential impact of inconsistent communication and misinformation in a fluid environment, the report said. Business owners have also emphasized the need for more assistance as much of downtown remains shut because of the coronavirus. Some respondents to the Shop Local Raleigh survey demanded more consistent updates about the city's plans. Not having a definitive answer on a timeline for what's next, it truly sucks to have to watch a news conference every 5 weeks to know what happens the next day. A little transparency would be amazing, wrote one respondent. Others called for direct financial assistance. Traffic and sales are way down. The money from PPP is gone. I was one of the first round, so it was only for 8 weeks. The EIDL, Small Business Administration Loan Program, was meant to last 6 months. This pandemic is still ongoing, and it seems no one is willing to help us now, wrote one business owner. Big corporations are always being bailed out. It seems this pandemic has been put on the backs of our small businesses. Many suggested that the city and state should allow all businesses to reopen. The state is currently under Phase 2.5, in which bars, nightclubs, movie theaters, and other entertainment facilities will remain closed. How am I going to keep my business afloat? How am I going to pay the personal bills? Should I walk away after 17 years and start over? I have spent all of my life savings trying to survive the past 5 months, wrote one respondent. Some indicators are more optimistic. According to an annual State of Downtown report published Thursday by the Downtown Raleigh Alliance, food and beverage sales increased by 87% from May to June, and foot traffic downtown increased 34% from July to August. We have seen a lot of repairs made and a lot of the glass come in, said Bill King, CEO of DRA, in a phone interview with the News and Observer. We've got a lot that have reopened. King estimated earlier this month that 80% of businesses that did have damage had since taken the boards off their windows. Some businesses boarded their windows again in advance of protests last month in response to the shooting of Jacob Blake, a black man in Kenosha, Wisconsin, who was paralyzed after a white police officer shot him in the back. Some business owners say that customers have been slowly returning. Sosta Cafe, on the ground floor of Red Hat Tower, lost about 80% of its business in the early days of the pandemic, according to owner Jerome Locke. Before the pandemic, most of Locke's clientele were office workers on their lunch break. Business slowly climbed back to about 70% in April and May, he says, but over the summer stabilized at about 50% of its pre-pandemic business. Locke had to lay off one employee and reduce two others to part-time. He now works 6 days a week. "I'm not paying vacations anymore, which I used to do. I'm not taking vacation, which I used to do," he said while working a slow Friday lunchtime shift. Two customers lingered inside the cafe. Another two sat outside. He's not eager for office buildings to open back up, though. He said it would put him and his staff at greater risk of contracting COVID-19. "I'm in a situation where I'm not closed and I still function. I'd rather stay like this than, you know, potentially be exposed to the virus. Because it's only two of us," he said, motioning to one of his employees working in the kitchen. "If one of us gets it, we'll go for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and that will be devastating. I don't have enough manpower." Next, NCDOT to buy CSX rail line between Raleigh and Ridgeway. The effort to establish high-speed passenger rail service between Raleigh and Richmond, Virginia, got a boost Friday with a $47.5 million federal grant to the NC Department of Transportation. The money will allow the state to buy a rail line between Raleigh and Ridgeway near the Virginia state line from Freight Railroad CSX. The grant was announced late Friday by Democratic Representatives David Price and G.K. Butterfield, both of North Carolina's Republican U.S. Senators Richard Burr and Tom Tillis. North Carolina and Virginia have been planning for high-speed passenger trains through the two states since 1992 and have long coveted access to CSX's so-called S line between Raleigh and Petersburg. Price called the acquisition of the rail line in North Carolina a critical step in developing intercity passenger rail service in the corridor, while Tillis said he was proud that members of both parties had worked together to secure the money. "Preserving our rail systems is crucial to future tourism and economic growth, and this funding will help ensure the S line in eastern North Carolina is secure for generations to come," Tillis said in a written statement. Last December, Virginia struck a deal to buy 65 miles of the CSX rail corridor from the state line north to near Petersburg. CSX also agreed to allow NCDOT to eventually acquire about 10 miles of railroad right-of-way in Warren County between Ridgeway and the Virginia state line. The tracks on the CSX line between Ridgeway and Petersburg were removed in the 1980s. There are still tracks on the section between Raleigh and Ridgeway, but they are underutilized by CSX, according to Jason Orthner, who heads NCDOT's rail division. CSX moves most of its freight on the so-called A line through Fayetteville, Wilson, and Rocky Mount, where the company is building a terminal to shift cargo containers between trucks and trains. The state's long-term plans for rail service include passenger trains capable of going 110 miles per hour between Raleigh and Richmond on the S line. Orthner says the tracks also could be used eventually for commuter rail service between downtown Raleigh and Wake Forest. Actual construction of the project is still years away, but NCDOT is working to eliminate railroad crossings on the CSX line in Wake County by building bridges starting with Durant and New Hope Church roads in Raleigh. Next, new North Carolina program offers helping hand to small businesses. Small business owners in North Carolina struggling during the pandemic can receive assistance through a new coaching program. The program launched by economic development nonprofit Carolina Community Impact in partnership with affiliated nonprofit Consumer Education Services, Inc., provides business and personal credit reviews, business plan critiques, and assistance with business financial statements. The program was developed in anticipation of the expiration of many programs that have so far kept people afloat during the pandemic. The reality of COVID still hasn't really hit us yet. There's been a lot of forbearance. There's been a lot of deferment by creditors, whether it's on credit side or mortgage side or small business side, said Mike Croxon, CEO of Consumer Education Services. A lot of that is coming to an end now, and more people are going to end up in a gig kind of job for a while, or they're going to decide it's time for me to go into my own business. According to Carolina Community Impact, micro businesses compose almost 90% of the nation's businesses. These businesses represent an even higher share of businesses in low-wealth communities, which have been especially hard hit by the pandemic. Owners of microbusinesses struggled with their finances long before the pandemic, Croxon said, often using personal credit to finance their business in slow times. That's been especially true for business owners of color, who have had less access to resources in the past, Croxon said. Lack of access to resources or relationships with banks has also made it more difficult for smaller business owners to access relief programs during the pandemic, as previously reported by the News and Observer. As the pandemic continues to spur layoffs, Croxon expects that many more people will begin working as freelance contractors or start their own business. There will be a lot of people who have never done it but always dreamed about it, and there will be people forced into it because they don't feel like they have any other choice, he said. That is essentially what we are trying to help people be prepared to do. People interested in receiving the coaching services with CESI and CCI can learn more by emailing the manager of the initiative for CCI, Joe Battle, at jbattle@ccifund.org. Next, Lights, Camera, Action! Filming for TV and movies resumes in North Carolina. Movie and television production around North Carolina is resuming amid the coronavirus pandemic. That includes a Christmas movie currently being shot in the Charlotte area and a show for Oprah Winfrey's TV network that will be both shot and set in the Queen City. On Tuesday, Governor Roy Cooper announced 5 new productions have been approved for North Carolina Film and Entertainment grants to start production in the Charlotte and Wilmington areas by the end of next month. The incentives add up to more than $27 million. Our state's film industry continues to welcome new projects from prominent production companies, Cooper said in a news release. The industry provides good jobs and opportunities for local businesses while showcasing on a big stage what North Carolina has to offer. The combined projects are expected to generate more than $107 million for in-state spending and create 8,671 jobs, including 650 crew positions, according to the state. North Carolina Film Office Director Guy Gaster said the return of jobs for film professionals and the return of spending by production companies in local communities adds welcome economic value during the pandemic. We've certainly had smaller productions that have remained in production, but it is good to have some of the bigger productions resuming, Gaster told The Observer Tuesday. Officials with the Charlotte Regional Film Commission did not respond immediately for comment. The 5 film projects include made-for-television, feature-length film, and TV shows, according to the governor's office. Delilah is a new series from Warner Brothers Television for Winfrey's own network about a headstrong, highly principled lawyer in Charlotte who left a demanding law firm to raise her children. Filming is planned in Charlotte and surrounding areas. It's eligible for a grant rebate up to $5.4 million. The series from Craig Wright will star Mahara Hill in the title role and is set to air next year, according to Variety. Winfrey also is an executive producer, as is York County, South Carolina native Charles Randolph Wright. Hill also has appeared in Blackish, How to Get Away with Murder, and The L Word, Generation Q, among other shows. A Nashville Christmas Carol, a made-for-TV movie, began filming in the Charlotte area in September. The movie tells the story of a busy film director and producer who is visited by the ghost of country music past and present, according to the state. The production is approved for a grant rebate of more than $1.1 million. No network has been announced for the production yet. USS Christmas, a made-for-TV movie about a newspaper reporter who finds love on an aircraft carrier, will film in the Wilmington area and is eligible for a grant rebate up to $1.1 million. The Raleigh News and Observer reported this is for the Hallmark Channel, which has made a staple of the holiday movie genre in recent years. Parkside, filming at the EUE Screen Gem Studio in Wilmington, is a feature-length film. It's approved for a rebate up to $7 million. The second season of Hightown 4 Stars series from Lionsgate Television and Jerry Bruckheimer Television will film in the Wilmington area. It's approved for a grant rebate of up to $12 million. Production companies must meet direct in-state spending requirements to qualify for the North Carolina Film and Entertainment Grant, according to the state. The program is administered by the North Carolina Department of Commerce and promoted by the North Carolina Film Office. Public health officials and industry trade associations have developed COVID-19 safety protocols at filming locations. Each production has its own COVID-19 plan in place, Gaster said. Productions follow state health department guidelines and industry recommendations. Along with wearing masks and following social distancing guidelines, Gaster said there are regular virus testings for people on set and wellness check-ins. It's similar to anyone else going back to work, trying to mitigate the spread as much as possible, he said. According to the North Carolina Film Office website, there are no film-specific guidelines or restrictions for the state regarding COVID-19. The state's Phase 2.5 mass gathering restrictions do not apply to production sets, as gatherings for work are exempt, according to the governor's latest executive order, the film office states on its website. Residents from out of state are not required to quarantine. However, the film group recommends following industry-wide safety guidelines set up by the Labor Management Safety Committee Task Force and labor unions. Production continues on non-grant projects as well, including the reality series My Big Fat Fabulous Life and Love It or List It, in the Piedmont Triad and Triangle regions, respectively. Two other Piedmont Triad-based projects recently wrapped production, the feature Where's Rose and the new docuseries Secrets of the Zoo, North Carolina. The Charlotte area has been the site of filming for numerous TV shows and movies over the years, with productions tending to thrive based on the size of state incentives. For instance, several seasons of the TV series Homeland and Banshee, the first Hunger Games movie, and Leatherheads filmed in the area. Last year, production companies spent more than $167 million in direct in-state expenses and created 11,820 jobs, according to the North Carolina Film Group website, including the productions of Halloween Kills, The Georgetown Project, and The Eyes of Tammy Faye. Gaster said, despite setbacks related to COVID-19, this year is shaping up to be a good one for the state's industry. We certainly hope to have additional projects to announce before the end of the year, he said. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.